Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's an oldie. You be the judge if it's a goodie.
Hi, this is Brian from Human Resources with an all-staff message. I'm happy to inform you that the company Christmas party will take place on December 23rd, starting at noon, in the private function room at the Grill House. There'll be a cash bar and plenty of drinks. We'll have a small band playing traditional carols. Feel free to sing along. And don't be surprised if our CEO shows up dressed as Santa Claus. A Christmas tree will be lit at 1 p.m. Exchange of gifts among employees can be done at that time. However, no gifts should be over $10 to make the giving of gifts easy for everyone's pockets. This gathering is only for employees. A special announcement will be made by our CEO at that time. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Hi, this is Brian again from Human Resources with an all-staff message. In no way was yesterday's message intended to exclude our Jewish employee. We recognize that Hanukkah is an important holiday, which often coincides with Christmas, though unfortunately not this year. However, from now on, we're calling it our holiday party. The same policy applies to any other employees who are not Christians or those still celebrating Reconciliation Day. There will be no Christmas tree present, no Christmas carol sung, and we'll have other types of music for your enjoyment. Happy now? Happy holidays to you and your family. Hi, Brian here from Human Resources with another all-staff message. Regarding the note I received from a member of Alcoholics Anonymous requesting a non-drinking table, you didn't sign your name. I'm happy to accommodate this request, but if I put a sign on the table that reads AA only, you wouldn't be anonymous anymore. How am I supposed to handle this? Somebody? Forget about the gift exchange. No gifts exchanged are allowed since the union members feel that $10 is too much money and executives believe that $10 is a little chintzy. No gift exchange will be allowed. Hi, Brian from Human Resources again. What a diverse group we are. I had no idea we were in the middle of the Muslim holy month, Ramadan, which forbids eating and drinking during daylight hours. There goes the party. Seriously. We can anticipate how a luncheon at this time of year does not accommodate our Muslim employees' beliefs. Perhaps the Grill House can hold on serving your meal until the end of the party, or else package everything up for you to take home in a little foil doggy bag. Will that work? Meanwhile, I've arranged for members of the Weight Watchers group to sit farthest from the dessert buffet, and pregnant women will get the table closest to the restrooms. To the person asking permission to cross-dress, no cross-dressing allowed, though. We will have booster seats for short people. Low-fat food will be available for the high blood pressure group to taste first, and there will be fresh fruits as dessert for diabetics. The restaurant cannot supply no sugar desserts. Sorry. Did I miss anything? Yeah, it's me. Vegetarians! I've had it with you people! We're going to keep this party at the Grill House whether you like it or not. So you can sit quietly at the table furthest from the grill of death, as you so quaintly put it, and you'll get your salad bar, including organic tomatoes. But you know, tomatoes have feelings, too. They scream when you slice them. I've heard them scream. I'm hearing them scream right now. I hope you all have a rotten holiday. Drive drunk and die. You hear me?
Hi, this is Kristen, Acting Human Resource Director. I'm sure I speak for all of us in wishing Brian a speedy recovery, and I'll continue to forward your cards to him. In the meantime, management has decided to cancel our holiday party and give everyone the afternoon of the 23rd off with full pay. Happy holidays.
Ho, ho, ho. This is Wretched Radio.
You realize we got to change part of that now, right?
Yeah, no.
Which part?
Yeah.
the cross-dressing thing is now...
That was recorded... 12 years ago, gentlemen, something like that, back
Optimus.
At KKMS. And that was Brian who
15,
did that.
Yeah. 15,
and now,
maybe, yeah.
It's actually, that's the inappropriate holiday party message is now inappropriate. Wow, how the times have changed. Is it just me? Or is anybody else getting to the point where it's like, you know, regarding this whole Christmas thing, I'll tell you what, why don't you all create something? The cold holiday, the chilling in December fest, something. Take it. Celebrate it. Whatever you want. Could you please leave Christ out of it so that we Christians
can actually celebrate it
rightly? Honestly.
Yeah, but they haven't taken him out of the name yet.
I know that they haven't done that. But for all intents, I suspect, now we haven't done this for a long time, but we have in the past gone to different campuses, public places. Even in the winter in Minnesota, we did this a couple of times. Hey, what's the meaning of Christmas? No idea. No idea. It's just a big festival for so many folks. And unfortunately, it can become that for us, too. As Christians, we have to battle to make it about Jesus Christ. And speaking of Christmas and gifts, what is your gift? No, not what you put on your list that you want to receive underneath a tree on December 24th or 25th, however you've worked that out in your home. I'm talking about your spiritual gift. This is an issue. I don't hear a whole lot of talk about it these days in evangelical Christianity, so let's. What is your gift? You do have one. If you are a Christian, not only do you have at least one gift, but you have a unique gift. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about unique, distinct from every other Christian, but you have a unique gift because that is what makes it a gift. For instance, you're an excellent teacher. You then get saved. You're still an excellent teacher. Is that your spiritual gift? I think the answer is no, because God has already gifted you with that. All the skills that even pagans possess, they are, in a sense, gifts from God, of course. Whether somebody's a good orator, they have the gift of hospitality. Once they get saved, though, God gives them a spiritual gift, which is going to be a unique gift, something you didn't have before. The question, of course, is, what is that gift? Furthermore, it is going to be unique in that, while it might be similar to other people's, the Bible does not list the complete, all of the optional gifts that are available to all of His children. God customizes gifts for each one of us. How cool is that thought? And so different people have varying degrees, they have different capacities, and they have different angles on it, because when we study the lists of gifts in the New Testament, I think, no matter what you think, with this gift is in operation, this gift isn't, wherever you stand on some of those particulars, I think all of us agree that the lists that are given in the New Testament, and there are a number of places where they are given, they're easy to remember, by the way. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, that kind of helps a little bit. But those aren't an exhaustive set of lists. There are more. And that means there could even be different categories. The point of the list, in my opinion, is not to give a complete, this is it, you're going to slot into one of these. No, it's to demonstrate God provides gifts to His children for what purpose? And that is what makes it a spiritual gift. It is for the encouragement, the edification of the body. That means whatever the gift is that God gave to you, and He gives each and every believer a gift when we get saved, you've got one. Maybe more. What are you supposed to do with it? Keep it under your tree? No, you're supposed to use it. Where? The church. For the edification of the body. Another reminder about the importance of being plugged into a local assembly. You can't use your gift if you're not a member of a local church. Oh, I know, you could use it here, you could use it there, but that's not what it's designed for. God fits you with a gift. He knows the other giftings of the other saints inside of that organism, that group that gets together in your zip code, so that you can complement one another. You got an elbow, you got a toe, you got a chin, you've got all the different operating together inside of the local body. If you're not a member of a local church, would beg you to become one and start using your gift. How do you figure out what it is? That's a really good question. But let's take a look at the lists. Now, these are 10 gifts that the Bible lists. Again, not exhaustive. And we'll do our best to figure out what they mean. The gift of administration. It's the gift of leadership. 1 Corinthians 12:28, Rexella. Remember, if you were that before you got saved, this isn't your gift. Does that mean you don't use this gift inside of the local body? Didn't say that. You can use a gifting that God gave to you before he saved you, but that still isn't your spiritual gift. If you come to the Christian party as a good administrator, a good leader, you're an organizer, you can use that. By all means, use that. That still isn't your spiritual gift. This is for the person who didn't, now he does. She never was in any way administration, organization, not so good. All of a sudden, really good at getting stuff coordinated. Congratulations, you just found your gift. Number two, contributing to the needs of others with cheerfulness and generosity. You used to be stingy, now you're a giver. That could be your gift because you have at least one. There are 8 more to go. We'll study that list and then how you can discover what your gift is. Happy holidays. This, that hurt, is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for joining us today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to Wretched Radio. As the year comes to a close, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? I know you always consider what ministries to give your gifts to with Christmas and the end of the year. So would you please, please keep us in your thoughts? Because we could use your financial support as we head into 2020. We are growing like nobody's business. We have the opportunity to reach more and more people with the gospel. And that's why we truly need your year-end gift. To become a Wretched monthly gospel partner or to give a year-end gift, just go to wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate. Yes, all of your gifts are tax deductible, and we promise to be very thrifty with whatever gift you give to us. Miserly? No, cheap. We're cheap. As a matter of fact, 83% of every dollar you give goes straight to ministry work. Prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today at wretched.org/donate. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a 1-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
There are certain things people love getting for Christmas. You know, like new toys, new socks, the newest iPhone. There are things Wretched would love for Christmas, too. Gospel partners. As this year is coming to a close, would you consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner? You see, thanks to our gospel partners, you can find full episodes of Wretched Radio and TV at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other resources, for free. Without our gospel partners, there simply is no Wretched. So if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and want to continue to do so, would you please consider becoming a Wretched gospel partner? Every dollar you give will be faithfully stewarded. In fact, right now, 83% of every dollar goes directly towards ministry work. Get the details on becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Visit wretched.org/donate.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Even if you don't get a gift for Christmas, you got a gift from the Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio. Bible identifies all three persons of the Trinitarian Godhead, three persons, one God. They're all responsible for the spiritual gift you received upon conversion. And yet, the Bible does tend to point toward the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, that He is the one who gives you that gift. He is the one who grows you in your gift or giftings. And so typically we attribute these to the Holy Spirit, although all three persons in the Trinity are indeed involved in your gifting. You got one. And you, dear Christian, you're supposed to be using it where? The edification of the body, your local church. What are the gifts? If you'll recall, they are not exhaustive in the New Testament, which means even though I'm going to share with you 10 of them, you might have something that's completely different than what you're about to hear, because the listing of the gifts is not intended to be exhaustive and all-encompassing. It is to remind you, you got one. Now you got to figure out what it is. Perhaps this list will help. If you recall, number one, administration or leadership, 1 Corinthians 12:28. You got that. You didn't used to. Now you do. That's your gift. You better use it. Number two, contributing to the needs of others. Happily, generously. You used to not like to let go. Okay. If your parents could rename you, Ebenezer would be on the list. Because you're that tight with it. And all of a sudden, you've got an open hand. You could be one of these individuals who has the gift of generosity. Here's mine right here. I'll just tell you that much right now, fellas. Number three, Romans 12:8. Gift of encouragement. You guys are terrible at this. I'm excellent at it. I don't mind telling you. I don't even know what your gift is, frankly. But this one, like a star on top of a holiday festive tree.
You mean like a city on a hill?
That's my gifting right there. Yeah.
I would like to encourage you to do better.
That encouraging? Well, I can't, because I've also got the gift of humility, of course. So you're a Barnabas type. Use that gift. Maybe you didn't used to be, but now you are. I was on the phone yesterday with a friend. Don't laugh. I got a couple. Yes, I have to pay them, but that's still not the point. I'm talking to a friend on the telephone, and we were working through an issue. We're trying to find a book for somebody who is struggling with the reason that they should desire to be obedient to the law. We were having a great conversation. It was so helpful. This is an aside, but we were talking about making sure that we understand why it is that we desire to obey God's commandments. And a question that you should ask if you're really struggling to be holy, really finding it to be burdensome. Question: do you love God's law? Do you love God's law? And if your response is, well, not exactly love, I mean, I know we're supposed to do it, and, you know, it's kind of a part of the package, being obedient and stuff, but do I love God's law? Careful, because if you don't love God's law, you don't love God. This is a first John sign. We love to obey His commandments. They are not burdensome. They're not a yoke. We do it out of delight. Is it hard? Sometimes, of course, it is. Mortification is no walk through the park. But we desire it. We want that because we love His laws. We're like the psalmist in Psalm 119. Love your laws. Love your statutes. Love your commands. And if you don't, that could be a very bad sign. So we're talking about these theological things. And right before it was clear that we were about to hang up. Okay, he was going to hang up on me. Nevertheless, he said, hey, wait. How are you doing? And he actually meant it. I mean, it was clear. He could have been done, moved on, you know, gotten back to texting, like we all have to do. But he actually said it, and he cared. And not only did he say that he was interested, he started to ask about different areas. How are you doing? And then he actually gave a word of encouragement. Things like, I'm so grateful. I'm sorry. That was...
Stuck right there?
And I wasn't even the one who said it, and yet I find it that difficult even to repeat it. This is not my gifting. This fellow has it, and he was using it, and I don't mind telling you, it felt pretty good. Do you have that gift? Use it. Number four from Ephesians 4:11, the Ray Comfort gift. No, I'm not talking about the gift of being shorter than average and an incredible amount of energy, even at the age of 70. I'm talking about the gift of evangelism. Everybody is called to evangelize. Some people have the gift of evangelism. Do you have that gift? Use it in the context of the local church. I can't think of anybody, Old Testament prophet or New Testament missionary, that weren't sent. Consider Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, a little kerfuffle between about Paul regarding Mark. Didn't want to bring him. So there was a separation, there was a division. It got reconciled, by the way. In 2 Timothy 6, you can see that Paul wants Mark to come and visit. So it got reconciled. Nevertheless, there was a division, but they were sent by whom? The church. How did the disciples go? Because they were sent by whom? Jesus. Why did Jesus come? Because he was sent by whom? The Father. Old Testament prophets, they were sent. Evangelists should be underneath the control of the elders in the local church, sent by the local church to control them. And believe me, we need that. I'm thrilled to pieces. Thanks. Almost. Really, the guy that you got to give the credit to for the increase in evangelism in our country really is Ray Comfort. Others, of course, but Ray has really led the charge for the last several decades. And so we've got more people out on the streets, but if they're not underneath the authority of a local assembly, look out. It can get nasty. I think about a video that's on the YouTube machine, and yes, I have had too much coffee today. Okay? Don't judge me. I'm not under the law. I can drink as much caffeine as I want. Did I mention I don't have the gift of encouragement? At any rate, it's a video of Lady Gaga in her limousine pulling up to the concert hall where she's about to perform. And there's somebody out in the streets who's evangelizing people. She rolls down the window to see what they're up to, because their signs said lovely things like, a Lady Gaga is going to hell. Worse than Lady Gaga is not a morally driven woman. She rolls down the window and pleasantly said, hey, fellas, those signs are about me. What's up? You're a bleep. Just nasty words. Awful. Just terrible. Angry words. I would bet the rest of this cup of coffee, and there's clearly not much left in it, that they're not under the control of a local church. We need to be under the control of a local church. Number five, faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9. This is a tricky one. I cannot tell you definitively this is what it means, but I think that the gift of faith means that there are just some people who have extraordinary confidence in something. Remember, this isn't an exhaustive list. It's a confidence in God. It could be a confidence in His Word. It could be a confidence in just, let's get this done, y'all. We can do this. It's just a strong faith where they just don't waffle. And there are some people like this. There are the spectrum in evangelical, oh no, just in Christendom. You have got people on one side of the spectrum. Oh, they struggle so mightily. They have wobbly knees. They're a bruised reed, and we need to be so tender with these folks because they need so much encouragement. Because that they just don't have this gift of a strong faith. Doesn't mean they're deficient. It just means that might be where their lack is, like you and I have lack. This is why we do this whole body thing together. I got my lack, you got yours. My strength is supposed to fill in the gap, vice versa. So you've got way on the left side, bruised reed Christians. Way over on the right side, it's like, never had a doubt in my life. Never worried about it. In fact, I don't worry about anything. God's in control. He's sovereign. We stand on the word of God. The end? What do we do now? I think that's the gift of faith. Not sure. Number six, 1 Corinthians 12:28, helping others. Have that gift? I see that in some people. Man, they are Johnny on the spot. I know somebody's wife. In fact, I know somebody's wife really well because it's mine. I think she has that gift. It does not matter what somebody is doing in our home. She will help. And even if it's something I know she is not nuts about doing, she just likes to help. Number seven, this might be another one my wife has. 1 Peter 4:9. Remember Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. That's your easy mnemonic. The gift of hospitality, putting people up. You love it. That could be your gift. Number eight, shepherding as an elder. You just guide people so well. Number nine, teaching, which is different than preaching. You're the Sunday school teacher that everybody loves to go hear. You just love to hear those words because that person has the gift of teaching. And then finally, distinguishing spirits, 1 Corinthians 12:10. This could be the gift of discernment, not hunches and nudges, but applying the Bible to a scenario to go, you know what, that ain't right or that is right. Question. Those are just some of the gifts. Do you have one of those gifts? You should. Now the question is, are you using it? This is Wretched Radio.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Did you ask for this? No. Are we going to give it to you anyway? Absolutely.
New from Laodicea Records, a Jerry Lewis Christmas.
Silent night! Holy night!
All your holiday favorites with that famous Jerry Lewis twist.
Hey, lady! Santa Claus is coming to town!
Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without Jerry Lewis.
You're a mean one, Mr. Martin. You know, you really are a heel.
Order your copy now and receive a bonus copy of a Jerry Lewis Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah! Happy Hanukkah!
How can one man sing both Christian and Jewish songs? Does that really matter? Get your copy of a Jerry Lewis Christmas today and have a very Jerry Christmas.
Feliz Gerashad! Feliz Gerashad! Felicia Rashad, the lady on the comfy show. She plays the old mom. Hello.
Are we proud of that? No.
It gets worse every year.
This is Wretched Radio.
True, doesn't it?
Makes a perfect stocking stuffer. And hey, speaking of gifts, what is yours? That's right, Christian. That was a segue. What is your spiritual gift? You got one when you were converted. It is a unique gift. It is not one that you previously possessed. You may have had other skills that you can employ in Christian service, but that is not what your spiritual gift is. The Holy Spirit gives you something new. Now, it might be related. It might be tangential. But nevertheless, there will be a uniqueness about it, something that you did not possess before getting saved. You get one. Whether you asked for one or not, why are these gifts given to us? For the encouragement of the body. You'll see it all throughout the New Testament, that we are to employ the gift that God has given to each one of us for the edification of the body. The question, of course, then is, what is your gift? Well, I can't tell you that there is an exhaustive list in the New Testament, but there are a lot of categories, a lot of different ways that you can be put into service based on the gift the Holy Spirit has provided for you that may not be enumerated in the Bible. Gift of administration, leadership, contributing to the needs of others, encouragement, evangelism, faith, helping others, hospitality, shepherding, teaching, distinguishing spirits, in other words, discernment. You got one of those or something like it or even something different, but it is something that you should be using in service in your local church. Now, the question is, how do you know what that gift is? So glad you asked, because we are happy to accommodate. Just like giving you Jerry Lewis for Christmas, this is perhaps some things that you can do. These are some things. Had a little verb problem there for a second. I'm over it now. I didn't have any caffeine yesterday. And not to say that I'm addicted, but wow, did I get a headache. Oh, man, Scylla. If you don't think that you're addicted to crack, I mean coffee, just go ahead. Give it a go one day. Try it. Double dog dare you. And when your head starts throbbing, you will have your answer. Trust me. How you can discover your gift. If you haven't figured it out, this should help. Number one, study the subject. 2 Timothy 2:15, study it. What do these gifts look like in the Bible? What does the Bible teach about these giftings? Study it. You'll become more and more familiar. You study, for instance, you can go into depth. What is the gift of administration? What is the gift of faith? That way, when you're studying it, you might just stumble into, whoa, that's what I've got. And you can start using it. Number two, observe others using their gifts. Just go to the shopping mall or to a movie theater and just study other people. And then you'll see their gifts and you can... Wait a second. I am sorry. That's wrong. You can't observe others using your gifts in those contexts. There is only one place, the local church. Hence the importance of being a member of a local body. You can observe others. See what they're doing. How do they act? Because it's probably going to look a little unusual from the way the world looks. Study other people in your local church. Number three, think in terms of how God gives gifts for the body. How does he give them? What do they look like? How do they manifest themselves? What are the big categories? What are the needs of the body? In other words, spend some, this is okay. And frankly, we should all really like doing this because we get to study our favorite subject ourselves. And so you study, how does God give these gifts? And why would he give them? You know, juggling. You suddenly, you got saved, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I think I'm pretty good at juggling. Well, then ask yourself the question. Does God give the gift of juggling to the body for the edification of the saints? Well, I suppose you could say, sure, once every few years at the church talent contest, I get to use my gift. Well, that's not the way the gifts are supposed to be used on occasion. It is supposed to be a regular employing of these gifts. And if you can't do it by juggling, or dare I say, miming, then it's probably not a gift of the Spirit. Study the issue. Number four, ask others what gifts they see in you. You might be surprised what they say. You know what? I've been studying you, and this is what I've seen. You know, we've been doing this Sunday school together for the last several years, and you know what I've noticed? Let others help you. This is another benefit of the local church, which is not stressed enough these days. This would be part of the external identification. Internally, you should be able to figure this out to a degree by studying the issue, understanding, looking at yourself. What did I not used to have that I now have? How could that be used for the body? But and externally, though, others can come alongside you and say, you know what, I see this. And chances are pretty fair if that's your spiritual gift. You're going to go, I thought so, because I've thought that myself. Number five, just don't think that this is all loosey-goosey, hippy-dippy here. Experiment. You just heard 10 of the different types of gifts, and that is by no means exhaustive. But try it. If you've never taught before, try teaching. Does your class dwindle from 50 to zero? Well, that might be a sign you don't have that gift. But if maybe people come up to you and go, wow, you are so good at this. I really enjoy this. And your class maybe even maintains or grows. Now, please note, I don't think I've ever been involved in a Bible study ever that didn't shrink. So that isn't necessarily a determiner that you don't have the gift. But if people are really enjoying it, or they're affirming you and saying, I've never heard it presented the way that you do, wow, I really benefit from your class. The way that you say things is so helpful. Experiment. Do you like being hospitable? Well, you don't know if you don't try. Maybe you never even thought about it before, but now you're going to give it a go because you're going to try to figure out your gift, and you suddenly delight in putting people up or hosting or throwing a dinner for the people at the church who just came back from the missions trip. Try it. See if you got it. Number six, do you enjoy using that particular gift? God doesn't give you something that's torture. That's really how you know it's a gift. You like it. And maybe you didn't even like it before. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But now all of a sudden, wow! So if you don't like doing something, that's probably not your gift. 7, do others benefit from your gift? If they don't, you don't. 8, does God seem to be blessing it? If he isn't, you isn't. Got it. Like, I do not currently have the good gift of Grammarly. I'm suddenly struggling with that particular gifting thing. 9, this one might help you. This is not a definitive determiner of what your spiritual gift is, but this might help you. Think about your church. Quick, tell me the thing that gets up your nose. What is it? Come on, what is it? What bothers you there that you see it all the time? What is it? That might be your gift. Because you identify, because you see the lack, you see the need, and you just know, if I were involved in this, I could do this better. Now, I'm not talking about a pride-filled observation, but I'm saying if you comment on something that needs to be done all the time in the church, it might be, not definitively, but it might be that you've got that gift. So jump in and start doing that thing. Instead of crabbing, start doing. Did I take that from the Home Depot? I hope not. We don't want to get sued by them. Stop crabbing, start doing. Actually, I do it in the reverse order. I start doing, then the crabbing begins, because it never goes easy for me.
I'm ambidextrous.
Ever. And you know what? Here's a sign it's not going to go well. Mrs. Friel says, this is easy. Mm-hmm. I know. And then I run off to the store, I pick up the stuff, and then return to the store because I didn't get the right stuff. And then I make a third trip because it just needs one more thing that I didn't really have. I start doing, then I start crabbing. If you see something it needs to get done, try doing it because that might be your gifting. And finally, don't fret about it. Don't be in a panic over this. But having said that, don't be lax about it either. We need your service in the body. This is how the church grows stronger. So don't dilly or dally. And definitely don't dilly-dally, because we need your service for the edification of the saints in the context of the local church. So put it on a fronter burner, maybe not the frontest burner, but a front burner, so you can figure out your gifts to be a blessing and others can bless you. What is your gift? I hope it's not Jerry Lewis. This is Wretched Radio. What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Merry Christmas from your not-so-politically-correct friends here at Wretched. Did you know right now Wretched is having a Christmas sale? Well, now you do. Right now, Wretched is having a Christmas sale. That means when you visit the Wretched store, you will see that everything is 50% off when you use promo code CHRISTMAS. 50% off everything. Books, DVDs, CDs, 50% off when you use the promo code CHRISTMAS. So visit the Wretched store at wretched.org/sale. Oh, by the way, for every order of $40 or more, you'll also receive a free copy of Herman Hu. If my math is correct, that's a $24.99 value, absolutely free. So stock up on all your Christmas goodies this year and save up to 50% and get a free copy of Herman Hu. Pretty much that easy. Visit wretched.org/sale and be sure you use the promo code CHRISTMAS to get all your 50% off savings. That's wretched.org/sale.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got it, and now I get to share it with you. This is Wretched Radio. Told you about a law review that I was reading. Oh, I know that sounds smarter than I am, and I did that intentionally. This was sent to me, and you can find this on the internet machine, because you might need it if your child attends a public school. Mindfulness, it is all the rage. In my estimation, teaching mindfulness in public schools is a separation of church and state. Had talked about this a number of months ago. An attorney from Omaha, that's in Nebraska, named Drew Engel, heard that program and decided to check out my claims. Lo and behold, volume 52, number 3 of the Creighton Law Review. It's from Creighton University. A booklet right here. That's the sound of a booklet right there. It is volume 52, number 3, Creighton Law Review, Modern Day School Prayer. How public schools are teaching Buddhist meditation in violation of the Establishment Clause. To Drew Engel, I say salute. Christian, your child, if in public school, there's a very high probability is being taught Buddhism through mindfulness. It's all the rage these days. It's in our government, it is in industry, and it is most certainly in our public schools. If you would like to read this aforementioned Creighton Law Review article by Drew Engel, Joey, tell them where they can win.
Creighton.edu/groups/law review.
And we will repeat that for you, because that ain't easy. Creighton is CREIGHTON. Creighton, what, Joey?
.edu/groups/law review. Law
review. You'll be
is
able
one
to
word.
Find this there, and you can even download the PDF. And I don't know, maybe you could just share a copy with your public school administration. The area of interest specifically to me was the definition and the description of mindfulness. The term mindfulness, this is again, did I mention? We're in a law review. Volume 52, number 3, even says so right there. The term mindfulness comes from the Buddhist term sati, S-A-T-I. Sati, or right mindfulness, is one part of Buddhism's Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is a collection of Buddhist practices which lead to enlightenment. I would actually say to salvation. That's the highest level. That is nirvana, baby. That is as high as you can go in the progressive Buddhist food chain. Enlightenment. Buddhist meditation is one of the practices of the Eightfold Path that leads to overcoming the cycle of death and rebirth. Don't want to be reincarnated again? Do mindfulness. Do sati. Breathe. The Buddha taught that meditation was an essential component to achieving liberation from suffering. When you think Buddhism, think liberation from suffering. That's its big oomph. Think Eightfold Path. Meditation practices are therefore vital to Buddhism. It is a part of the, if you will, salvific practice of the Buddhist religion. Hence the problem. You can color a duck, but it's still a duck. It is important to concentrate on breathing during Buddhist meditation. It serves to bring the practitioner's breath, body, and mind together. Please note, in a sense, it does calm you. All right, okay. Whoa, 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 honey, catch your breath. Just slow down. Take a breath. Just relax. It works. But mindfulness and Buddhist meditation is more than that. It is to bring the breath, the body, and the mind together. Concentrating on breathing helps the practitioner relax and maintain focus during meditation, your salvation process. You're told to feel breath going in and going out. Are you supposed to smell it, too? Because that would require an awful lot of flossing if you're going to, which I don't mind with the Glide, if you don't mind me saying so. If a thought comes to mind during meditation, the practitioner should remove the thought and return to meditation by focusing on breathing. Enter Jon Kabat-Zinn, Z-I-N-N, and stealth Buddhism. Great word. Mindfulness can be attributed to this man, who introduced Buddhist meditation through a Zen missionary. He was introduced to it while studying at MIT. So Jon Kabat-Zinn, not a dum-dum if you're going to MIT. He was taught meditation. He began to study it under Buddhist teachers, including Zen master Thich Nhat Hanh. Kabat-Zinn then mixed his Buddhist training with yoga practices to develop his own brand of meditation, which he called mindfulness. 1979, University of Massachusetts Medical School. Kabat-Zinn founded what is now called the Center for Mindfulness, and he published his first book, 1991. Kabat-Zinn said that his intentions were to make, quote, the path of mindfulness, path of salvation, accessible to mainstream Americans so that it would not feel Buddhist or mystical. That's why when you approach your school, they're going to say, oh, it's not Buddhism. Don't be silly. It's mindfulness. This booklet at the Creighton Law Review will help you. Creighton.edu/group/law review. Volume 52, number 3. He stealthed it. But Buddhist teachings and practices are implicit in mindfulness exercises. Kabat-Zinn has said mindfulness lies at the very core of Buddhism in all its forms. That alone is enough to alarm your school district to go, whoa, 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 whoa. The guy who made this stuff up said it's actually Buddhist at the core? Should. Mindfulness is a distillation of the Buddha's key teachings that have been repackaged to make the exercises palatable. This repackaging of Buddhist meditation has led some to refer to mindfulness as stealth Buddhism. Stealth Buddhism is a term used to describe teaching the aspects of Buddhism to non-Buddhists without the word Buddhism. It sounds like the seeker-sensitive movement of the evangelical church right there. We'll just stealth them into the kingdom.
We're just having a movie discussion.
We'll just do a sermon series based on Harry Potter. They'll never know. Without Buddhist jargon and without presenting the entire Buddhist framework. Yep, definitely seeker-sensitive. Mindfulness is the most successful style of stealth Buddhism. Millions of non-Buddhists unknowingly practicing Buddhism every day. Maybe your kids. But not all Buddhists, incidentally, are excited about stealth Buddhism. This is fascinating to me. Some Buddhists have actually attacked it by renaming it McMindfulness. Concerns by these good Buddhists, if you will, that stealth Buddhism is deceitful and unethical and therefore contrary to the tenets of Buddhism. So even good Buddhists don't like McMindfulness. Goldie Hawn's McMindfulness program called Mind Up. Wasn't that a song by Cameo, if I'm not mistaken?
That was Word Up.
Never mind. Claimed to have taught mindfulness to over 500,000 students within the last 10 years. Mindful Schools, another mindfulness organization, claims to have taught 300,000 students within the last 5 years. 2012, Congressman Tim Ryan, wonder if he's still into the mindfulness, Ohio, received a $1 million federal grant to teach mindfulness in his home district's public schools. You and I are paying for this, Christian. Mindfulness exercises often begin with the ringing of a Tibetan meditation bell or bowl. Bong! The teacher, they sound just like that. That was an actual recording. Bong! The teacher, who serves as the mindfulness instructor, encourages the students to close their eyes and focus on their posture. This is classic meditation in Buddhism. The teacher then instructs the student to begin their breathing exercises, taking slow, deep breaths, assisting the students by focusing on a repeated mantra, breathing in, breathing out. Students discard their wayward thoughts. They empty their brains. This is how you become enlightened, become nothing. Don't think anything. No desires, no thoughts, nothing. That's salvation in Buddhism. Students are instructed to discard their wayward thoughts and return their focus to their breathing. That's Buddhism. During the mindfulness meditation, the teacher will instruct the students to focus their minds, empty themselves, and find their center. Who likes McMindfulness? The Dalai Lama praised Kabat-Zinn's strategy of modifying the vocabulary in order to make mindfulness acceptable to non-Buddhists, end quote. If the Dalai Lama likes McMindfulness, you gotta ask, what is it doing in our schools? This review, this journal, might be very helpful for you to bring to your school. I've done that before, and I'm received with, oh, no, it's just breathing. No, we just have the kids say namaste, because that's like aloha. No, it's not. It's a Buddhist greeting. The God in me bows to the God in you. It is religion to the core. If you wouldn't like your kids being taught religion, false religion, perhaps this will help. Creighton Law Review, Volume 52, Number 3. It's creighton.edu/law/review.
Correct.
Drew Engel is his name. Volume 52, Number 3. Sir, good work. This is needed. Because, hey, where's Dan Barker? We need to send a copy of this to Dan Barker. That would take care of the whole problem right there. Well done, Drew Engel. Until next time, go serve your king.